Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclass.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels and Sin City Steve here on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. We will be joined with Rob Bosalary here in a little bit as he's, rehearsing to go for his competition tomorrow night to be the funniest asshole in Las Vegas, I think is the official theme of the thing or something. I don't know.
Does it even matter? I mean, realistically, he's already got that shit won. He is the funniest asshole in Las Vegas. Emphasis on the word asshole.
Wow. Okay. Well, apparently his asshole is pretty funny. I did not know that. All right. Once again, a big week in wrestling leading up here, coming up to WrestleMania. And starting off with That's Not the Favor. SmackDown ends with a contract signing in which was damn well done in terms of the way contract signings go. Something a little better than, the usual brouhaha and table flipping and shit going off. First off, Seth Rollins, just an MVP. The reactions, the way he, is throwing a fit, and the fact that, CM Punk does not deserve this, and how come are you letting him manipulate him, manipulate you to do this, to be part of this? It was just brilliant. Paul Heyman, of course, with the, just that kind of that reactions and the looks of, just being so proud that, everything was signed and he got him, to that point, where he's doing WrestleMania main event, gives him Punk that kiss. Roman, just with his laughs and some of the lines he said, it was just fucking done brilliantly, just leading to that point. Roman, telling him, hey, go to page 4 and 5. It's in there. It's highlighted. Okay. Your main event in WrestleMania, it's like, just everything done perfectly for that moment where he signs it. And then he just looks at him and says, that's not the favor.
One man's biggest dream is another man's big favorite paycheck, I think is the line from Roman. So they abandoned the standard trope of, like you said, table flipping, someone inevitably going through a table. I think this was extremely well done. Tropes are tropes for a reason. They tend to work, but it's great when they stray away from those. And this was an example of it. It actually did build, some interest in the match. And I don't know if I was just reading things, but it almost looked like as if old Phil Brooks got a bit emotional after it was announced that he was main eventing. So I don't know if he was getting wrapped up in the moment, or if, it was the fact that Heyman said those words to him that he was officially going to be a WrestleMania main eventer, or if it was just completely fucking sprung on him and he had no idea. It's interesting, and obviously we'll find out.
Yeah, very well could have been something that they kind of placed in there, and that was the first time he actually heard it. Which also would have been great if it was the first time that Seth heard it.
So true.
Get the natural reaction on him, too, of like, oh, come on, this is bullshit. you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, just, and that's how you close a show too, right? It's, so it's like you've been building up, you've seen the physicality for months between these guys in, you know, various forms. And now it's just a simple moment in which the fans can chant for CM Punk. It can be that kind of group thing. It can be the fact that everyone who is just like, oh, Punk got screwed, he didn't get a title shot, blah, blah, he's not going to main event. Then it's just like, okay, he's got his main event, fine. The same people, there's a very, very, very small percentage going, but Jey Uso should be getting that title shot at the main event. And those are the same people who forget that in past WrestleManias now, it's been a woman who's gotten the title shot on night one of WrestleMania.
I do have to mention, though, it is very interesting that neither of your Royal Rumble winners are actually main eventing WrestleMania. Just putting it out there. Obviously, you know, the star power that they've built in with the three-way more than qualifies. But I just, as an outsider looking in,
what do you mean neither?
As an outsider looking in, I think that the, you know, the thing, the gimmick has always been whoever wins the Rumble, main events of WrestleMania, yada yada. So I mean, it's just it's really interesting that they've kind of thrown that by the wayside as well.
Right. Which listen, but that all started in 1993.
Right.
So again, that didn't mean shit until they started that in 93. So yeah, it's interesting. Another setup that we had, which was pretty fucking awesome to see Drew McIntyre get smashed into a car fucking windshield. One of the coolest moments was the guy getting out of the car got totally just fucking jacked out of the way. You heard him say something like, my car! And he just gets tossed aside as they go on top. And you have everyone standing there going, no, wait. And boom. So obviously that is, you know, what is happening for that match to finally come about.
Drew McIntyre actually legitimately got glass in his eye during that segment too. Legit.
Oh, really?
And so, yeah. And I find it really ironic as well, kind of tying this in, CM Punk threw such a fucking hissy fit over, you know, Jack Perry using real glass and, you know, the whole real glass thing, when he gets to the point where he gets fired from AEW only to end up in WWE, where he's on a show where Drew McIntyre legitimately gets glass in his eye. Poetry.
Yeah, sure. But, you know, it's also, I mean, really, it was a back bump to a thing, you know, to the windshield. Exactly. So.
Yeah, that was, it was a completely freakish thing. And right. By the way, I find it really funny that, you know, I can talk all the shit in the world. Like, have you listened to what I've said where I've actually been praising WWE more over the last several weeks on this show? And I just throw this in there, and all of a sudden it's like, shut up.
And he's referring to Steve, Travis saying, Steve talking about the Mania main event. It's 3 weeks away. What are the Dynasty main event, which is next week? Bam Bam. It's because you have no choice. It's objectively better.
Hey, you know what? I am all for enjoying pro wrestling. It doesn't matter if it's AEW. It doesn't matter if it's WWE. If I like something, I'm going to say it. Unlike certain partisan people that may or may not be on this show from time to time.
Right.
Or weekly. Well,
yeah. And some of us really do enjoy good lucha wrestling, which is what we'll see next week when Rey Fénix debuts on SmackDown. You know, it's funny because, again, it's like, here's the thing. These guys were great. And, you know, in AEW, the momentum that they should have had from what they were doing in other companies, it should have been there. And speaking of should have been here, oh, it is Rob Balsillery, and yeah. He joins us just in time. To you popped in just like Phoenix is popping in on SmackDown.
Yeah, I saw that little promo, and he won't be in the straitjacket anymore. He can now be disappointed in a major network.
And as you popped in, the sport entertainment guy is in the building. Hello, Vegas Bad Boy and Sin City Steve. I'm interested to see what they do with Phoenix, especially because they did mention that he's part of the Lucha Bros. You have them on separate shows, so it's going to be interesting to see where they go with it. And especially because it's a pre-WrestleMania debut, which is kind of a rare thing. You know, usually they'll save it to that week after. So, we see him this week, which is
Rusev is possibly, coming.
Well, it possibly means that he might be wrestling on WrestleMania, which would be kind of intriguing. So, all right. We got that out of the way, a little SmackDown out of the way. Okay, so Cena will ruin wrestling for every fan, wrestler, and everyone. We talked a little bit about it last week.
Didn't you already do that? I mean, 20 boring years of a guy who's, I'm a Marine. Oh, you weren't. Yeah, I'm Eminem. No, you're not that either. I'm really fucking boring, and I'm on the mat 30 minutes out of every match. There you go. You got it right. Spend three quarters of your match on the mat. Do a few shoulder tackles. You can't see me. Take a belt. Get paid a crap ton of money. Do a couple of comedy shows. Dress up like a fake Captain America. And now demand that the crowd should feel bad for you because you sucked for 25 years. Sorry.
Jesus.
Wow.
Ow, bro.
So, Rob, just out of curiosity, how's your entertainment career going and how's his?
A lot better than that, fuckheads. I've done a lot more in 7 years than that guy took 25 years to get to. Oh, you can speak fucking Cantonese? I don't give a flying fuck. All right, what country picks you up to cut a promo? Your cocksuckers movie, your peacemaker movie, your fucking shitty goddamn Marine movie that you pawned off to Mike Mizanin and that still nobody gives two flying fucks about. You are like the B-list Rock, and the Rock is a B-lister. So Jesus Christ, how do you fuck up fucking up? You're boring. You were always boring. You know? That's what they do when they have like white guys. They don't know what to do with it. They dress them up like Eminem and throw them out to the rap like they did with fucking the Scissor Gang, which is like, and half that group, at least they know they're gay.
White guys. Probably.
This is why you never.
Well, whatever they are, they're two and a half.
Wait, you definitely speak Portuguese.
This is why I never speak German. Sprechen Sie Deutsch. Okay, willkommen in America. Y se habla portugués también. Okay, falo portugués también. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis, siete, ocho, nueve, diez. Okay, I can speak many languages.
And everyone sounds like you're doing Trump while doing it. Go figure.
Yeah, pretty much.
I dropped my voice this weekend. So now every time I talk, it sounds like I'm doing Donald Trump. But if I'm doing Trump, wait for the pauses, okay? Or you can just raise the octave a few levels and you get John Cena going, this is ridiculous. You people are awful. You were awful.
Hey, Square Family Wrestling Michaels. Is right. Get him a Snickers.
Get him a Snickers. And Michaels, put that image back up on the screen with Cena.
It's gone it. Already.
All right. Nah, well, so one thing that is interesting, the next time that you guys, the next time that you guys see him and his merch, somebody pointed this out on the internet that obviously the slash was over the C in obviously you can't see me. So now some very eagle-eyed people have seen on this merch, where the C is actually in the foreground. So the slash is behind the C. So I don't know if, you know, we're going to continue to see kind of spins on old stuff, but yeah, continuity is very interesting.
Yeah. Even in merchandise now, it's yeah. fucking insane. Yeah. What do we say for years? Continuity. And now it's like, fuck, in the merch. Oh, crap. All right.
Well, think about this, which is interesting. He's got a shirt for every country he visits. You know, people are going to want to have the full collection.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're making it, yeah, they're making it available, which is great, too. So it's pretty awesome. This kind of is very intriguing. It looks like with Finn attacking Penta and Braun, and the Judgment Day doing a little destruction here, that maybe Finn versus Penta versus Braun for Mania, possibly. I don't know if they fit anyone else into that match, but for the IC, that wouldn't be a bad little match. And maybe you do get a little crazy and put it on a ladder or something like that.
Hell yeah, man. I think that, you know, if you do add some sort of a gimmick to that, you know, that triple threat, if they choose to go down that route, obviously we know about the history of, you know, Penta in ladder matches, from not just AEW, but elsewhere in his career as well. But, yeah, it would definitely be, I think it would be a great showcase for all three guys for sure.
And you know that Braun would be spearing someone, you know,
through a ladder.
Yeah. Through a ladder, I think he could actually, with his speed, hit the ropes and actually like connect with someone on the ladder, you know, like hanging someone, like hanging off the ladder and take God, I mean,
that'd be dope.
Just, yeah, there's just so many possibilities with him as an athlete. It's amazing. But again, these matches are building up WrestleMania. Some people have been like, well, the undercard, blah, blah, blah. It's not really sad, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you still got like 2 to 3 weeks of buildup. So, you know, and what do you need? You know, it's going to be what, 6 matches a night, maybe. So, you know, you're kind of already almost there. I don't know exactly what they're going to do with, you know, X, Y, and Z. Are we going to see Naomi and Jade, for instance? You know, does that build up to WrestleMania, or do we see it SmackDown before WrestleMania? So, a lot of those questions to be answered.
I would want that one on WrestleMania, definitely.
You would think, right? And that's, you know,
because
that's
it's technically like the culmination of an angle that they've been running for, you know, multiple weeks and months at this point.
Yeah. Also, I definitely figured out a clue of promo putting the 4 and 25 clues together. Could be a sign that mysterious person will show up on SmackDown on Friday, April 25th, Fallout show following WrestleMania 41. That's what it seems like is going to be happening. That's what it does seem like that promo is leading to, and most
Rusev
likely
Putria, Rusev Machka.
Well, interesting. Black. It's Aleister probably Aleister Black. Yeah. There was something about Rusev being, you know, they have interest in him, but nothing is solid yet. Maybe not till the end of the year.
Is he okay with losing to people?
Yeah, well, I think his paycheck.
Bring him back. You got to bring back CJ Perry, though. You have to bring back Lana.
Well, so they've made up, so
yeah, they're supposedly back together again. And Damian Priest is still in the Fed, so that could be interesting.
Right, you just put him on the different show. Jim says someone on the ladder at top and he spears him through the ladder. Yeah. There's so many different things that can happen. And Travis says 6 matches because there are after dark parties. Yeah. There's a lot of WrestleMania like DJ shit going on. It's going to be kind of fucking insane. All right, here we go. Athena's streak is broken. She's finally been on AEW, a main program, after however long she's had that belt plus the prior time that she was in the company. So what, 3 years in the company, something like that. Yeah. Here's the thing. Mercedes Moné's promo was pretty shitty. Thank God Athena came out.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, we've been clamoring for her to appear on actual AEW programming and wondering why she was exiled to Ring of Honor. And Athena shows up, obviously not on Dynamite, not on the A show. They have to have it on the B show. But right. I mean, even still, you know, it drew some pretty great crowd reaction. So I know that Tony listens to that shit. So yeah, make note of that. Have her on Dynamite, and why not put the TBS title on her at All in Texas, and you know that'll allow her to run the TBS title division, and Mercedes can move on to feuding with Tony Storm, I guess.
I don't know, Rob. Do you think that would happen, or do you think that it's Mercedes once again making her powerful?
It's impossible to have a Mercedes Moné story where she just somehow is completely oblivious that there's a world title that she doesn't have, and it takes and it diminishes her character to not have that belt and not want it. Makes no
Now she said in this, she does want it. She wants to get in that Owen Hart tournament to win.
You know, Tony Storm versus Mercedes Moné. This is going to do everything for Mercedes Moné, does nothing for Tony Storm. And I say that in the sense that Tony Storm doesn't need that. She can be entertaining with anyone she goes up against. This is to put Mercedes over. You give the belt to Mercedes. You do a rubber match, whatever, however you go about it. Mercedes has no character. The CEO thing is not a character. It's not even a gimmick. It's just a title. They need something for her to do. They need something for her to latch on to. If she wants to come out and says, I'm a Hollywood star too, bring up the movie she's done, cool. They need to find something for Mercedes to have, some sort of a hook. Besides being the female belt collector, that's my take.
Well, I think Kevin Nash said it this week. WWE Hall of Famer Kevin Nash says Mercedes Moné has become a lazy wrestler in AEW. Sasha, or whatever her name is now, CEO, I watched her last match, and man, she's phoning her stuff in big time. That's not the same girl I watched tear down the house in Brooklyn with Bayley back in WWE. I mean, that's a fair point.
He's not wrong.
Yeah. That's a very, very, very fair point.
Every one of her matches is get to the Meteora spot.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That's it.
Rob has spoken three different languages before he did one Trump impersonation.
Je m'appelle Robert.
Rosetta Stone.
Me llamo Roberto. ¿Cómo está usted?
Oh, man, you're going to have to deport yourself, man.
Yo sé muchos idiomas. Gracias para su tiempo.
Okay, according to The Observer, Warner Brothers Discovery was said to be overjoyed with the ratings for AEW's Slam Dunk Collision. And then with that in mind, AEW and WBD already have plans for all sports and other programming preemptions on Wednesdays or Saturdays for the rest of the year. There's also a plan for dealing with WWE's Saturday night's main event. All right. So they drew like 500,000 on the high end for those after the games. We also probably can figure, because we just saw the numbers, we didn't see the breakdown of time, meaning how long did those numbers last going to the end, right?
Right.
So the question is, did a lot of that come because TVs were still left on after the games, which happens, especially in bars, you know, if you have,
Well, remember, that's when everyone said, hey, man, what happened to Chris Jericho? He got fat as hell because people hadn't seen him in a while. And then here's an NBA game, and the first match was Chris Jericho, 50 pounds overweight with a tank top on, wrestling as slow as he ever did. And then that was what prompted Chris Jericho to work back out again. Also, special props out to that little kid who told him to go fuck himself repeatedly.
That was hilarious. That was fucking hilarious. Yes, they built that into a video package and showed it on Dynamite.
No, that was so good.
So, I mean, that they're showing glimpses that they know what to do. They just,
I never used to think that the social media stuff was that big, but WWE knew how to incorporate it. Every time Samantha Irwin did something amazing or had a pop reaction, it's going to be on social media. And I'm like, whoa, it's putting brand forward.
You see these random things from the overseas tour that happen, you know, post-match where Punk's interacting with fans or Cody's interacting with fans. It's the same thing. You know, they're picking up on that stuff and putting it right out on social media. And that's, we've been saying that for a long time. That's exactly what they need to be doing at AEW, is taking advantage of that stuff. But, you know, you just bumped up your collision numbers. I'm interested to see what this past weekend's were. But the problem
realistically, I just have to say this. So the 22nd and 23rd, 554 and 584, they actually had double the 18 to 49 demographic as they had in the weeks prior, with a .2 and a .22 respectively.
Of course, because it's coming out of
basketball. Right. So we'll see what happens.
And that's the thing. It's a false number. Unless that number repeats the following couple of weeks, it's horseshit.
Right.
Now, and obviously, they've mentioned that they're also going to be putting some of this type of a split collision lineup for the NHL once the Stanley Cup Finals is going. And I see some very interesting things that they have the possibility of doing, and it is a benefit of them being in bed with the network and as tightly as they are. Let's be real.
Yeah, so, it's a bad thing. They just have to not be Mercedes Moné lazy and work with what they've got and go, okay, I'm not guaranteed an audience.
Yeah,
I need to take what I have and really build on it. And the idea is when we get these little glimpses where we go, oh, the Jericho thing got posted and they knew how to work that momentum. They don't know how to do that all the time. We've said this across this year that they'll get opportunity after opportunity and then they'll drop the ball on it. So I don't know. I.
All right. So it came out this week that Saraya, who previously wrestled with WWE's Paige, announces she is leaving AEW in the debut episode of her podcast, Rule Breakers with Saraya. I just don't fit in right now is what she said. That comes from Entertainment Weekly. And this is her tweet response. It's mutual, but I loved my time at AEW. I had such a blast with the girls there. It'll hold a special place in my heart. Tony was a great. AEW was great. I feel so lucky to be a part of this family for a couple of years. Here's to 2025. What the fuck am I going to get myself into now? So
she's available now.
Yeah,
she's free.
She's totally free.
She just needs another person to break her back right now. And I am happy to volunteer my in-ring services, ma'am.
I don't know. I say she goes back to WWE and gets a little wood. Or should I say wood?
I see what you did there. Oh, my. She wants but Apollo's Creed.
Right. No, not Apollo Creed. What? Xavier that was Woods. Consequence Creed was his character in TNA, dude. Oh. Oh, Apollo Creed is the one who's actually... Yeah.
I forgot what Consequence Creed. It was Creed. I know there was a Creed in there. Xavier, fucker.
Well, at least she didn't get the
baby. You know, tell her you want her to make some of that pancake batter.
Oh, Jesus.
BKL says, I can see Saraya coming back to WWE, but I'm really not sure if she would be appreciative to be back. That's the thing. I think she would be. She also has to clear all medical and everything like that.
That's the thing.
WWE is a lot stricter than these other companies.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and the question is she still... you know, it's funny because, you know, the idea of Swerve saying that Cody and Punk and Jade, they're so much more valuable because of what AEW did for them, which was very questionable because Saraya, I think, is kind of a measuring stick. If she goes to the WWE, will she be more valuable, or was she hurt by the time in AEW? Because her, you know, for her arrival and the excitement, it was a flash in the pan. It was burnt out so quick, which still makes no sense to me. It's a head scratcher how that just got so mishandled that you took all this momentum, and by the end, she disappeared without anyone noticing. It was a shock. It was like, surprise.
I mean, WWE's done this before. They did it with Alba Fire and such when they made her the tag champion, and she was in Scotland. And like, all right, they made Saraya the women's champion at All in Wembley Stadium. Fine. That's fine. If you take them to their, you know, own country and make them a champ, that's fine. But she was a problem. You're forgetting the Outcasts were three women who didn't really merge together all that well. Toni Storm and her, I didn't feel much chemistry there. You had Ruby Soho. What was Ruby Soho's accomplishments? They slammed her hand in the door and she got knocked up. That's what she has to hang her head on at AEW. Saraya was then hooked up with Harley Cameron and they did a pseudo lesbian angle. And again, it was they didn't find anything for her to do. Even her title run was not memorable at all. She got entered into a match. She won. She was out. Your only woman of any consequence is Britt Baker and Toni Storm. Those are the only women of consequence. And a couple of times, maybe Thunder Rosa. Maybe. That's the only three women in that company that matter. Hikaru Shida used to matter. Not anymore.
Used to. Yeah,
used to matter.
Yeah, her stock is virtually nothing now.
She used to be, oh my God, from somebody I did not know out of New Japan to I cannot wait till she gets on to now, whatever. Whatever.
I think that with Saraya, if she goes back to WWE, yes, she's going to get a nostalgia pop, but I don't think that it's going to be anything more than
You've still got it. You've still got it.
And here's a hot take. I'm not afraid to say it. She had one of the baddest ass themes to come out of WWE for sure. The music that she had was dope. And you know, yes, Zombie people Fire. Are gonna talk. No, in WWE.
Yeah.
I think that she'll get a nostalgia pop, but unfortunately, I don't think that you know you're getting her stock increase from being an AEW, to answer your initial question.
Right.
The women in WWE are wrestling at a much higher caliber too. She's not going to be able to physically handle freaking Naomi even, let alone a Piper Niven or Charlotte Flair, any of those people. They'll tear her to pieces.
It's hard to say. You know, it depends. Again, it depends on how healthy she is. But again, you know, she left the WWE in high regards as someone who the reason she wasn't wrestling wasn't because the character got stale or anything. It's she physically couldn't. And, you know, to see her back, I think it would, Jim's got a good point here. She would fit in NXT. That's not a bad idea. And she would be a great influence in training as well. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But WWE Hall of Fame, immortal moment. They're going to induct the Stone Cold versus Bret Hart WrestleMania 13 match. Being at that myself, it is by far the greatest match I've ever seen live. And a lot of it had to do with the storytelling and the actual electricity in the building. It was just amazing that by the end of that match, Bret was the biggest heel and Stone Cold was so fucking over. This actually, I think, is not a bad idea. First of all, the prices on tickets are fucking insane, starting at like $250 from nosebleeds for the Hall of Fame. So why not bring out Austin and Brett to, you know, kind of move tickets?
Yep.
Good idea.
It makes sense. And, you know, I haven't attended the Hall of Fame in recent Mania trips that I've gone on, just because I prefer to watch that from the comfort of home. Particular part of the show. If I was kind of on the fence of whether or not I was going to go to the Hall of Fame or not, you know, having the possibility of seeing Stone Cold again or Bret Hart or, you know, these types of guys, I think that might influence people to make that buying decision, which makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah. And you know, they probably were just waiting for confirmation of both guys. So when they announced the tickets, they probably had a good idea that was going to be the case. And that's probably why they were able to charge so much. So, Rob, are you going to dish out, $300? Oh, come on, Rob.
Austin 316 says, I don't have the budget.
Fair enough. Okay, this week on TNA, we got Gigi and Tatum. They lost their championship match, but got Ash to eat some cake by slamming her face in the cake. I just love those spots where you see a cake come out and you know that it's going to end up with the heels getting a face full of cake.
Whatever happened to women in wrestling in a face full of pie?
Well, you know, again, Soraya is headed back to WWE, so we'll see. In all honesty, Toni Storm is the closest to that thing happening right now, because every fucking promo she cuts now, she just has to go and throw some kind of lesbian
the thing innuendos out there. Are through the roof.
Yeah, because why not? But that was a nice little thing to see on TNA. It was fun. JC Jane also lost. And we got a moment where we saw JC and Tessa kind of standing next to each other as they're rocking up the ramp. If Tessa goes to NXT at some point, man, that would be an amazingly cool tag team. So I would love to see that, coming up. If that kind of goes down, but we did see all Ethan Page. He worked the second TNA taping at St. Joseph, Missouri today. And then this guy said, is the move from AEW really now paying off for this future world champion in WWE? That comes from, an AEW, pro, site. Here's the thing. Steve, I give you a shit, but I also know that you will say things positive or negative, you know, based on the reality.
Yeah, thank you.
This asshole says something like that without even remembering the fact that Kenny Omega didn't do jack shit when they did the same thing and forced his ass on that show. What happened? I mean, it's just utter bullshit to, you know, bring up this kind of stuff when Ethan Page's relevancy in the WWE has actually been something, where his relevancy in AEW was nothing. And you could have put the guy on TNA since he was in TNA back when they did that thing and, you know, had some kind of story there or whatnot. But, you know, what you're going to get here in the commentary is a mention of the fact that Ethan Page used to be there. It's like, it's like you want to call these guys out and be smarky about it. But at the same time, is it just butthurt feelings for the fact that they're doing something right with the opportunity that Tony Khan went and fucking squandered?
Yeah. I mean, realistically, he was, a TNT champion, and that was it.
And I can't.
He was part of the Men of the Year with Scorpio Sky, another name that hasn't been on TV in over a year.
Right.
I don't know, man.
It's sad. And you know, you're getting a chance to see what Ethan Page can actually do. Right. The same thing in TNA. You got a chance to see what Ethan Page could do.
Yeah. On a consistent basis.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm going to throw a name out there. Lexi's King.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm you know, there was an article about that where nothing going on there. There's a couple of people. It's not a guarantee.
Wait. Where is there nothing going on with him? Name one thing he did in AEW. See, the thing I didn't like about that article was the fact that in AEW, they did nothing with those guys. Griff is still fucking there. And I sat next to you at ROH, and it's like, who's that guy? Oh, that's Griff. You know, he's still there. Fair. And we're still going, who the fuck is that guy? While Lexus King is on NXT, and he's got a fucking title.
Fair enough.
That's what I didn't like about that perspective of that article. It was skewing towards something. Again, not everyone is going to be a fucking world champion, right? You know, I say this all the time. A lot of the guys who go from WWE to AEW, they are mid-card talent for a reason. Ricochet is one guy who's breaking through and showing, hey, I can be a little more personality-wise, right? And by the way, kudos for Ricochet for showing up at BVW at the Con Expo out here, the Anime Expo, and going in the ring and kicking some ass. That was very cool to see. So, you know, again, it's an interesting thing. It's like, you know, these guys are elevated not because they're in the WWE, but because they're actually just doing something with them.
Mm.
Right. Again, one of the people I love to death is Toa, you know, and Gates of Agony. They don't do. Where are the fucking Gates of Agony? No, great tag team. Where the fuck are they?
Great tag team.
You know, Scorpio Sky, like you said, where the fuck Scorpio Sky? You know,
he had return promo, and then he didn't do anything after the return promo when he was sitting in the stands.
I literally saw him. I saw him on a match listing for an indie show that's going to be here Mania weekend. And I'm like, what the fuck? Because obviously I didn't know if he was injured or whatever the deal was. But I saw his name listed on a match listing. And I'm, what? So this dude's healthy. He's in good condition. He's obviously cleared to work. He's good in the fucking ring. Yeah. And you're not using him in any capacity. That's just unbelievable to me. Unbelievable.
Travis brings up, where is Mike Bennett? This comes from a couple weeks ago. Maria said, this is my last day with AEW. Mike still works there. We have kids. So Mike might not be on TV, but I mean.
Hey, man, you know. Those checks keep rolling in.
Right. I mean, again, this is Travis said, Wardlow is not injured. Yeah, where is he?
Exactly. Agreed. Exactly. He's probably the biggest example of that.
Mm.
Lexus King will never be fit between in TNA, but and plus they know exactly how on earth they feel until they will see that guy.
Huh?
Not too sure what that means, but you know, again,
he obviously dictated that, and Lexi will never fit between TNA. Well, he has nothing to do with TNA. He never had anything to do with TNA. Lexi's King, to my knowledge, and they know how on earth they feel until they see that guy.
As far as Travis's comment about Julia Hart getting placed into a group to be the AEW Rhea and failed. Obviously the House of Black has been mistreated and underrepresented on TV for quite a while. I think anybody will attest to that. And then obviously Malakai and AEW part ways. So they have to rebrand the stable. They have done a good job of getting Brody King on TV and Julia back on TV. But yeah, obviously they're going to have some sort of a repackaging. I like what they've done so far. Ooh. We just need some more depth besides, okay, we're scary guys.
Yeah, but they're playing them as baby faces a lot. They had them come in to save, you know, to save other baby faces.
They are baby faces, dude. If you listen to the reaction that they get, right. Even when they had them as a tweener group, they were getting baby face reactions because people do like, on a lot of occasions, people like that kind of spooky, you know, kind of occult-ish gimmick. It's just, it works for a chunk of your audience. So, and especially if you lean older in your demographics, like what AEW has been, you know, right. It does appeal to, you know, older fans.
What's interesting is we're talking about sidelines and, okay. Deonna Purrazzo is the latest AEW talent to join the catering team during a Q&A episode of Fightful Selects podcast. Sean Ross Sapp was asked about Purrazzo's recent absence, whether her college schedule was a factor. Sapp shut down that theory quickly. Her college obligations have never interfered with her AEW bookings or anything like that. Adding that one of the perks promoted by SNHU, where she goes, it's flexibility to accommodate a working schedule. So what's the real reason Deonna's not featured? Sapp revealed, she's made pitches creatively, but as of now, there aren't immediate creative plans for her or the Vendetta. That includes the rumored third member of the Virtuosos faction, which Sapp clarified was never actually in the cards. This was never actually planned to add a member to the Vendetta, and that was only thrown out there to add intrigue. It also looks like her crossover work with CMLL has hit a pause. Now, that's Deonna. A little while back, this went down. Danhausen discussed his status in AEW, explaining, for a long time I was there, I just wasn't doing anything. If you don't have anything for me, that's fine, but I feel like we need to find something for me. Addressing his role in 2024, he clarified, for some of that, not for all of that, at some point it was, you can stay home. Okay, cool. That's great. And I appreciate that, because then I'm not just being brought out to whatever. He expressed gratitude for being allowed to stay active, adding, they are letting me do indies and conventions. It helps me stay sharp for them. Despite his absence from AEW programming, Danhausen saw his outside work as beneficial, stating, I always looked at that as I'm still representing the company in a way, because I'm still on these shows. That's better than me not being on these shows. He also pointed out his continued presence in the wrestling scene, saying, I'm still at conventions with Sting, taking and posing for pictures. Fans' curiosity about his return has been ongoing. He said, when people are, where are you at? When are you coming back? I don't know. The more people are vocal, maybe, then the more of him getting something. You know, and he also pointed out strong merchandise sales are going for his place on television, top seller list for the last 4 years on TV or not. I think I always am top three or top four. So that's the thing. It's interesting because you got Purrazzo, who's not being utilized, who's kind of talked about the misuse of her and Taya. And you got Danhausen, who is a merchandise seller. And by God, if the WWE does sign him and he goes to NXT, let's say, at the very least, the merchandise sales will be off the fucking hook. So, I mean, should these people not be at least on TV?
I mean, realistically, I would love to have, you know, a world where every single talent that should be on TV is on TV. But unfortunately, with AEW, they rotate the roster. So if you haven't, and I'm not saying you haven't, but if you haven't caught on to this, basically they have shifts of talent. They have such a massive roster that, you know, you might not see somebody for a couple of months. That's because they have been rotated out and somebody else is rotated into their place. Right. So I think that
there's a simple solution to this. Knock off all these fucking matches every week with jobbers. If you yank about two matches where you substituting local jobbers.
But who are the jobbers though? That's the problem. You always bring up jobbers, but the
question you can expect and put it on your watch when they go to every one of these local cities that one of the matches will have two local guys that will be thrown in a squash match. I would rather have that be a Danhausen run-in where he does the Hulk Hogan point. It would be more entertaining. And if you want to do that kind of stuff where you have some local talent come in, some enhancement talent, save that for bring back AEW Dark or something, or put it on Ring of Honor.
They're not going to do that. But the problem is again, they don't really do that anymore. Outside the fact of like having the Murder Machines, you know, just come out, destroy. They didn't even wrestle. They just fucking destroy the guys, right?
Right.
But they tend to not do that. They might do it on ROH, but Travis said Danhausen returned on ROH last week. The question is, if a tree falls in the forest, no one's around.
Yeah.
Do you hear a sound?
Well, when we went to Collision, you said that there were these two guys who were from FSW, and so, that they put them on a Collision show. I mean, you would have.
But they didn't wrestle. It also does have to be mentioned that you're not going to see squash matches on Dynamite. Those are typically done on Collision.
Right.
Fair enough. But that's time that could be spent to bring some of these guys, give them their 5 minutes that they're deserved, that they're going to in turn use to sell merchandise on your website. I mean, this doesn't take a rocket scientist. You know, it's not hard to do. A lot of what we complain about with AEW are simple, blatant mistakes. If the guy is a top seller for you, put his dumb ass on the screen. All he has to do is show up the conglomeration. Why wasn't he with the conglomeration and just go, it's not hard. It's super simple. It is as simple as it was just, as I just stated it, that easy. Put them on. Fine. You have the time slots. You easily have the time slots. I don't work in that company. I can assure you that they have the time to squeeze Danhausen in for 5 minutes once a week. It ain't freaking hard. Especially when you have conglomerations of slapped together tag teams and that guy's the most entertaining guy you've ever had. Who doesn't even have to put in that much physical work.
I think that one thing that we need to keep in mind too is, you know, there are possibly some political things behind the scenes as well that we might not know about involving, let's say, Danhausen.
I know lots of political things that go on behind the scenes. We're going to make it happen. We are going to do this for the American people. We're giving him 10 minutes. I'm challenging you, Tony Coke Khan, to give Danhausen 5 minutes on each of your programming and 20 minutes on Ring of Honor, since that will still be the most interesting 20 minutes that anyone's ever seen.
Yeah. Chris says, the Bucks are just mad that Danhausen outsells them. So they don't get time.
It could be, man.
All right. Speaking of things, hello. Ooh, Linda Hogan looking.
Oh,
very.
That, oh, oh,
yeah. Jesus. Rob, here she's single. Linda Hogan recently opened up emotionally about the turmoil within her family, breaking down as she described the situation. My family's in the worst mess, she admitted. She specifically spoke about her strained relationship with her daughter, Brooke. Hogan revealing that they've been estranged for nearly a decade. Brooke doesn't talk to us. She had twins. She got married. She didn't tell us. Lyndon shared. She further explained that a major fallout between Brooke and Hulk Hogan led to her also being cut out. She had a huge fight with Terry. I don't know how that reflected onto me, but she cut me out too. I haven't talked to her for 7 years, almost 8 years now. Despite the family rift, Linda expressed her gratitude for her bond with her son, Nick. My favorite line in this whole thing, Nick Hogan. He's such a good boy. Oh my God. She then spoke about her ongoing struggles, particularly with loneliness and lingering pain from her divorce. I'm just home by myself today. Again, as usual, I'm okay with most things, but today something hit. I don't know what, but I look terrible because I've been crying. Linda also criticized Hulk Hogan, calling him a complete liar and a sex addict. Even after 2 decades, she admitted she is still deeply affected by her split. It's been 20 years and I'm still this sad. Somebody please explain that. I don't know. It just doesn't get better. Her experience has left her unwilling to consider marriage again. I don't ever want to be married again after him. Trust me. This comes off of the fact that, if y'all remember, Linda did sleep with one of Brooke's classmates when he was like 19 years old. So
this is not the same as American Pie.
No, this is not Stifler's Mom.
And why does Linda look like Terry and Terry look like Linda?
Travis, Linda Hogan equals Sunny 2.0, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, more like Sunny Kiss.
Jesus.
With bleaching.
BKL accidentally spilt my drink when he saw that picture. Yeah, it's just, you know, and again, and this is making headlines, so, you know, it's unfortunate. Again, Hogan Knows Best was a huge reality hit for a season or two before it kind of went off the rails and, you know, everything went down. But
you know, a lot of went down.
Well, yeah. And as Chris said, you know, Sunny 2.0, but she hasn't killed anybody, unlike Sunny version one.
So,
But you know, I mean, this is, again, this is the thing, you know, again, my favorite part is here's 60 something, almost 70 year old, if she isn't 70 yet, Linda, calling her 30 some odd year old son. He's a good boy.
He's a good
boy.
You know, this is the part of wrestling I don't care for.
Yeah.
Yo, let's go to a really good thing about wrestling. This right here, which is fucking awesome. This image is, of course, La Parca. He was revived yesterday in this article. What was that, Steve?
I said, hell yeah.
Yeah. Since some folks are going to have more questions and answers, let's talk about it. So 5 years ago, the second wrestler to play the character, Jesus Rita Escobaza. Is that right, Steve?
Why are you asking him? I'm the one who can speak seven languages.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He tragically passed away due to an injury in the ring. Well, 5 years later, during yesterday's AAA event, and Rey De Reyes casket opened and revealed a very much alive La Parca. So in a few of the bigger Lucha Libre families, when a wrestler passes away after a grieving period, the family members will allow a close friend or relative to inherit the previous character's role. This is also known as a cultural respect called a rebirthing. As for the person underneath the mask, it has been revealed that person is none other than Brazo de Ora Jr. I hope.
Brazo is
previously connected to a lot of bigger names in Lucha. So, so this was likely seen as a mutual respect between both families. Man, they got this.
And his first match will be against Suicide. And if you pay close attention, Suicide's neck will be black, then white, then tan throughout the course of the match. He might have blonde hair, dreadlocks, cornrows. He may have blue eyes, black eyes, or brown eyes. We really don't know. Suicide is that versatile.
Well, there you go.
I saw three different Suicides in one taping of TNA.
I think Suicide, though, is officially retired. At least
until he comes out of the casket and Hulk Hogan goes, "Brother, I'm going to call you Manic."
And now that we've been demonetized.
Well, speaking of that, Steve, give us a monetization with your over-under for AEW this week.
Well played. And you know what? Further proof that somebody in AEW listens to this fucking show. Because last week, if you will remember, I said that while it had no business going 8 minutes, that Kenny Omega versus Blake Christian would go 8 minutes. And I said it should go five. Yeah. Fast forward to the match this past Wednesday. It goes 5 minutes. And then Kenny Omega cuts a promo saying how he made it quick. So thank you. And or you're welcome. In any event, this week, as of right now, heading into Dynasty, Travis so expertly mentioned earlier that as far as lineups, we currently have six matches set up for that pay-per-view. As we all know, AEW doesn't have a pay-per-view show with less than 10 matches on it. So my over-under for this week is that we are going to get four matches signed completely out of nowhere with no rhyme or reason as to why they're being made matches and just kind of thrown together to fill up the card. You got to fill up the show. So greater than four matches decided this week that, yeah, for the pay-per-view, which is incidentally this coming weekend on next Sunday night.
There you go. And speaking of filling up shows, let's fill ours with a presidential pontification. Well, let's fill
first ours of all, with excuse me, excuse me. Your president's talking, okay? Just because you're white and bald doesn't mean you can't be deported. Okay? I've got lots of bald white guys who want to be in my organization, okay? But we are talking about tomorrow in the Fruit Loop area of Las Vegas by Piranhas. We're going to have a show at the Bonfire at 8 o'clock with Mistress KY. I believe we sent you a poster, Mr. Michaels. No? Yes? No? There we go. Beautiful poster. Beautiful poster at the Bonfire, the only straight club in the Fruit Loop District. And that's what they call it. They call it the Fruit Loop, okay? That's what you've got Piranhas at. Lots of. And the Piranhas aren't the dicks. No. The Piranhas are the many middle-aged women trying to get their rocks off for the last time before they stop getting the Social Security checks that they didn't deserve in the first place. Okay, where you're getting, this is where the money's going to, is some guy named Paco's G-string. It is so sad. It is so insulting that this is what our hard-earned taxpayer money is going for. So for the benefit of Americans everywhere, no more Social Security checks to little Meredith. Okay, if you want to see Paco's package, then you're going to have to get the job of being a greeter at Walmart, and then you could go back to living in your studio apartment with pictures of your kids on the wall that you haven't spoke to in 10 years. As for wrestling, we are very disheartened to hear that we've seen so little of premium talent like Mr. Housen, Dan Housen, who has been set aside for people like the Workhorsemen, because Mr. Michaels loves the Workhorsemen, okay? This is the DEI initiative. Excuse me, your president's talking. Your union-approved wrestlers will not get a part, okay? That's what they call them, the Workhorsemen. They have to punch your clock to get in, and they're owed 10 minutes a month. I said to Tony, you got to get rid of these guys. They're terrible. They're absolutely horrible. They take up so much time that could have been given to Mr. Danhausen. And he goes, no, Mr. Trump, we like the Workhorsemen. They deserve 10 more minutes every other week. So sad, so very sad. And you know what? If you didn't have the Workhorsemen, then maybe you could have Athena. Oh, no, but you want Lee Moriarty. Lee Shitty Moriarty, who is another one. He comes in with a fucking luchador mask, okay? He couldn't point Mexico out on the map. It is so sad what they do to these people. They put in this junk, and then they have smart Mark Sterling. He's not very smart, but they tell me he is a Mark, and he's not very Sterling. They should call him Very Eager Mark Pewter or Lead, because he's shit, okay? It's so bad, these people. And then you go, oh, no, there's no time for Danhausen, because we need to have smart Mark Sterling bring out, what is that guy, Tony Not-So-Nice? Oh, good. That's another jobber, Tony Nice, all right? He's not going to amount to shit. I don't know. I don't give a shit how many fucking leg presses he could do, okay? I don't care about his quads, all right? He's a jobber. I don't know what Rob means by jobber. He's a jobber. Lee Moriarty's a jobber. These are jobbers. They're garbage. They're mid. They're not even mid. Okay. They're not even mid. Okay. They're not good enough to hold Matt Cardona's jackstrap. All right. Not respectfully. Very sad. So sad what's being done. Put Danhausen on 15 hours a week. Believe me. Believe me. The best thing for America. More Danhausen. Okay. More Danhausen. And Soraya, top of Trump Tower. Your president likes sloppy toppy. Sloppy toppy. Okay.
Okay, time for a social media dump. Let's start with Chelsea Green's newest shirt, the tribute to Cactus Jack that wanted Dead or Alive. Oh, man, Chelsea.
We could dump on her.
A little throwbacks again. Here we go. Bayley and John Cena. How about Bayley and Bret Hart? Little Roman Reigns and Hulk Hogan and Roman's, I think that's either his dad or his uncle. It's one of the two, right?
It's like Sika.
Yeah.
Or Rafa.
Oh, look at him and Macho Man and Elizabeth. Roman looks like he is yawning. and of course, the little special boy and his wrestling idol Sting. Can't go wrong there. Got a shout out to Chris Jericho, who donated $1,000 to the family of Vince Steele after his tragic death due to a medical issue during a match that happened, I think, last week or 10 days ago or so. So, again, Chris always steps up, and it's much appreciated. This was a great photo. Tom Morella, they're playing Magic the Gathering with Vince Vaughn and The Big Show. I don't know if those words ever would come out of my mouth together like that, but that is a one hell of a nerding out game right there.
Looks like Dungeons and Dragons are playing.
Or Dungeons and Dragons is one of them. It's, yeah. Speaking of nerds, thank you, Rob, for clarifying that. Izzy Moreno, little Izzy, who was Bayley's biggest fan, got into it with Mercedes this week. Mercedes was talking about an incident back when Izzy was a kid and said, "Kid, let me be serious. You were literally hyperventilating, crying. Your daddy needed to change your pull-ups during the show." She responded by saying, "I was 8 years old when that happened, but I'll be 18 on 5-1, so then we can stop the smack talk. Anytime you want some, just tell your daddy, Tony Khan, or whatever indie promoter, and we will see who's crying, boss." And Mercedes responded, "Baby, I'm not getting you booked. Stay broke." Wow.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Funny.
Yeah, it's just crazy. It's awesome. This picture, Dean Malenko, Taz, Perry Saturn, and Jerry Lynn at AEW. It's amazing to see these guys get together. And I wonder, is it one more match for these four? Maybe.
What is Taz grabbing in that picture? What is he reaching for?
Titties, obviously. And really? Probably.
Obviously.
Yeah, and it's probably Megan Bain's titties, because apparently they're going to get ripped off this week and put in the purse of Tony Storm. So speaking of titties, hello, Mandy. How you doing? Oh my God. I got it bad. I'm hot for teacher.
We like Mandy's Sakamoto's.
Steve, this is a pretty dark picture here, but it's Mox walking through, a grade school looking for a kid to beat up.
Is that, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at this point. Shit.
That's how bad it looked when he was coming to the ring. It looked like he was walking through a hallway at a fucking grade school going to beat up a 12-year-old. WWE's El Grande Americano gimmick has not gone over well with many fans in Mexico or Latin America.
Don't say.
From the Gulf of America.
That's right.
Ernesto Ocampo wrote, "This is an insult on many levels, both to Mexican wrestling and to Mexico itself. They couldn't have left out the Gulf of America reference." Oh man. Come on. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Don't dead name it.
This was great from the pro wrestling world. What is AEW even doing with Max Caster? He calls himself the best wrestler alive, but loses the majority of his matches. Doing that is brutal. It makes a wrestler seem like a joke and can be a career killer. What's better is if a guy like that makes a claim like that and just keeps winning, perhaps with screwy finishes, it will generate heat. But losing like this won't be long before he's in AEW's version of catering. David, right?
Whoosh. He's not fucking getting the gimmick. Like,
That sounds like some luchadors who are upset about Americano.
Exactly. Be mad.
All right, so Matt Hardy, the Hardy Boys are ready when you are, Dudley Boys. And Bully Ray responded, heard Matt Hardy's comments. There's no team left in TNA for the Hardys to wrestle. That's why they called us out. We are two-time TNA tag champs and the only team in the TNA HOF. Matt and Jeff can never surpass us. The Hardys need the Dudleys, and they know it. Are we going to see one more match, maybe? I don't know.
Fuck it, dude, it's unbreakable here in Vegas.
Yes, yeah, please.
This was HBO Max. This guy sent this in just to see what the response would be. And this was regarding Mox getting the nails in his back. The reply from Max about not enjoying seeing so much violence was, "Hi, Christopher, I'm Janeth. Your Max customer advocate on the Max support team. I understand your thoughts and feelings on AEW Dynamite last March 19th, 2025. I'd be more than happy to assist you with that. Thank you for reaching out and sharing your concerns regarding the recent episode of AEW's Dynamite. We understand that certain content may not appeal to all viewers, and we appreciate your feedback. AEW is known for its unique style of professional wrestling, which sometimes includes intense and extreme elements. We encourage viewers to make use of available parental controls and content ratings to tailor their viewing experience accordingly. Your feedback is valuable, and we ensure that it is shared with the appropriate teams. If you have additional questions, we're here to help. You can reply to this message or visit our help center at blah, blah, blah. Thank you, Janeth C., Max Customer Advocate." Man, they just care so much.
Fuck yes. That is the exact correct way to respond to that, though. Because legitimately speaking, if you allow a content distribution platform or a network to have a say in angles or spots or creative, any of that stuff, it sets a terrible precedent that they should not go down at all. So I wholeheartedly
seriously than you should. Hey,
no, legitimately though, yeah. Like I
go fuck yourself.
Be mad.
Hi, sir. We realize that you have no life, yep. And we would like to offer you the ability to go fuck yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
And acknowledging that there are so many choices of television to view and so many wrestling platforms, we give you the option to view one of those other programs, and maybe you might have access to a billionaire wrestler trust fund baby, and maybe you'll get him to take your advice under regards. But otherwise, sir, please go fuck yourself.
Now enjoy Game of Thrones. Good family, wholesome entertainment. Hey, speaking of good, wholesome family entertainment.
Oh, God. Oh, God. And he's got the beer belly and the man titties. Oh, God. He's got middies. Right.
Princess Hogan. Middies.
Oh, Jesus.
Princess Hogan. Hey, what do you have to say about that, Iron Sheik? Fuck the Hulk Hogan then. Fuck the Hulk Hogan now. Fuck the Hulk Hogan forever.
No, you got to do it the way he goes.
Fuck Hulk Hogan. He is faggot. Fuck him then. Fuck him now. Fuck him forever. He is faggot wrestler jabroni. Fuck him.
I just speaking of weird shit on the internet, Cody Rhodes and Sean Spears in 2006. Oh, down in OVW. One of those guys is a superstar now and a hero amongst, I guess, popular culture. And the other guy is Cody Rhodes.
I knew you were going to do that.
Referee Jessica Carr made her debut in Evolve under the name Calyx. So catch that on Evolve. She's under the mask. And man, she's fucking awesome, man. She's just amazing. This was great. Blue Meanie, public service announcement. Please keep tagging me thinking this is real. It's not. It's funny, but it's not real. I'm flattered, though. That's right. Dr. Pepper is collaborating with wrestling legend the Blue Meanie for limited time Blue Pepper release. It's not true, but it's fucking awesome. We have four pictures here. This is Rey Mysterio. It's Ricky Steamboat, Tito Santana, and of course,
fucking Nicholas.
Yeah,
Nicholas.
Yep. These are tag team partner.
Yep, these are the only four wrestlers in WWE history never to turn heel. Wow, Stone Cold Steve Austin, right there, ladies and gentlemen. HBK, Triple H. Val Venus, Mankind, Chris Benoit.
Oh, dude. Oh, Jesus.
Awesome, Chris Benoit.
You're going to hell for that one, dude. I have not. Oh, man.
Bret Hart. Speaking of Bret Hart, here he is recently, a picture of Bret. I'm happy to announce that this week, Bret has joined Metallica.
Oh god. Oh god.
Well, there you have it. A social media dump from us. All right.
Put him a dirty man. That's not right.
No, man. That's Bret the Hitman. All right, Rob, what do you got going on?
Tomorrow, at 610 East Maples Drive in Las Vegas. If you don't know where it is, go to the White Castle by the Hofbräu House and go a block down towards the airport, and on your left-hand side will be Quads and Bonfire, and there are two shows there. The one you want to be in is at Bonfire at 8 o'clock, where I will be competing for nearly $1,000 of cold, hard cash, and you'll get to see your president, quite honestly, your favorite president, and many other of my impersonations, as I will be all of these people live and in costume for your entertainment. The harder you laugh, the richer I get, and my car payment goes down.
Nice.
It also said you come out.
Is that true? Well, I've come out so many times. I've come out to the American people time and time again and given you freedom like never seen before. And we're going to take that freedom and give it to Greenland, to the people of Greenland, or as I call Lavender Land, because you can't have lavender without red, white, and blue. So to the people of Lavender Land, soon you will experience freedom and America and the taste of freedom, golden streams of freedom from Donald Trump. Thank you and God bless. All right, it's so damn true.
Final thoughts.
You know, I can't wait until we do actually annex Greenland and then Trump renames it to Trumpland and just the
that's going to be the Gaza Strip. Okay.
Oh god.
That's the Gaza Brazilian Strip.
Oh man. Anyway, hey, thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you. Hello, Mandy.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I'm not complaining. Thank you to all the brave men and women serving in this country, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 10%.
There you go. Well, we finally reached the end of the show this week. Oh, wait. I gotta check in, and something's got this.
I have to ask all of you, you were so great for Collision. How many of you had been to AEW before tonight? Were any of you at our very first show, Double or Nothing? Were any of you here at AEW for the first time ever tonight? Did any of you have a great time tonight? Okay, awesome. Well,
it looks like Tony is still at the Virgin talking to the fans a couple weeks later now. Boy, I don't know if he's...
Well, no, it's a Cary Grant concert. How many people have seen Cary Grant for the first time? How many people have seen Cary Grant in the ring and All In? How many have seen people see Cary Grant wrestle Jade Cargill at match 70?
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, he's still going on. We'll see if he's around next week, but we will be around next week. Until then, everybody.
With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. Alright. Rob Butcher, Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.